You will listen to the Good Adventure Spotlight Podcast, episode number 52, for the week of May 2nd, 2010. In brightest day, in blackest night. I'm just not ever going to do that to you ever again.
Welcome to what may be our brightest day. Stay tuned for all new thrills, all new mysteries, all new characters, same old podcast. I'm your charismatic host, Frank Mateo, and joining me are Brandon West, co-webmaster of the speciesite.proboards.com, as well as Kuhan, the creator of the Real View Mirror podcast, as well as our ever-noticeable Musard, as well as Eric Cahill, our leading expert on the brightest day phenomenon.
That's funny.
Our gracious sponsor, Andrew NDB, regretfully is unable to attend our brightest day as he is currently traveling between states. Let's all give ourselves, you know, a moment of silence because he's not here. Now let's kick it off. Let's actually start up today as we're going into what will be our greatest day ever.
You mean we're actually doing a podcast?
I mean we're actually reviewing the first two issues of the Green Lantern Mythos in Brightest Day. So we're getting a whole new, prophecy here. We're getting all new characters, I think, and more mysteries than we can handle. I can see you're all excited
excitement.
By this.
Intrigue!
All fucking truck.
Yay.
what issues are we talking about this week there, Frankoplex?
We're talking about Green Lantern 53.
What?
53.
So the 5 and the 3?
Those are two odd numbers.
In that order?
Yeah. As done by now what's going to be continuously their the new creative team, Jeff Johns, Doug Mankey. What do you guys think about this issue?
I want to go to news first.
In the first issue that comes out under the Brightest Day banner here. You know, in Green Lantern.
What do you say, Mew?
Oh, I don't know. I have a thing for Doug Mankey. He's my favorite Pokemon, you know. Always enjoyed him.
Really? Come on.
But, you know, bad jokes aside, I generally like the issue. I mean, the main problem was, if I want to start off with the problem, just, you know, get things off a little bit negative, the main problem was, toward the end, it was just teaser after teaser. It was kind of a setup thing, which I can understand that it's necessary to set up post-Blackest Night because shit done happened, but with shit done happened, there also comes a time where you have to tell that story. I like some notions of it. I like that. For example, one of my favorite was Larfleesh just carrying around a side with his feet, just like casually like, hey, this is mine. He's cracking me up. And the best panel, I think, was Lex Luthor's expression when he says land. It's like, land. It just cracked me up, like, what was Monkey thinking drawing that face like that? It cracked me up. But those little moments aside, I did like the issue. I mean, the one thing we really need to talk about is...
He needs more mad scientists rather than businessman.
Who the hell is this guy? This guy.
The guy in the first, I think, 12 or 1,300 pages that takes up the beginning of the issue.
This guy.
It's App Alley episode.
5, 6. 6 pages of a 20-page issue?
Crack-a-coom!
Are you saying it right?
Ap-ali-apsi? I think so.
I generally want to know more about this guy. I mean, he has... I mean, this is a bit of a major retcon, but not... It's kind of weird like that, because apparently this is the guy before the Manhunters, before the Guard, before the Green Lanterns, he wrote the Oath. And yet, why is he this creepy guy on this dead world looking at these...
Another character that, like, predates all the other characters, that completely invalidates all the other characters, yeah. Right after an event that completely invalidated all the other events, yeah.
It's
pretty condescending.
But I'm interested to see this guy's existing character, an original character, and what his role is going to be during this thing. I mean, he's obviously got this Naruto, gotta catch all the tail demon thing going on.
I thought that was a Pokemon thing.
Gotta catch them all.
Well, I was making a Naruto reference because the main bad guy is stealing all the tail demons for his own evil schemes.
It's also strange that you say Naruto and it's not pronounced Naruto.
Sure.
It just seems kind of like, I want to know what, I don't really want to judge this particular scene too much until I learn more about the guy's motives, but I do want to ask one thing. Why? Explain.
Explain, movie, explain.
Well, here's my thing. I actually, I hate every issue. I hate every issue, and this isn't necessarily indifferent, but I actually didn't hate this issue as much as I thought I would, because a lot of this issue is Hal and Carol talking, and in non-condescending terms to Carol for once, and I kind of like that conversation, and I like that a lot of the characters are interacting, which isn't the kind of thing you see a lot, and you'll see a lot of this kind of interaction throughout the Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern, but now that he finally has two of the same characters in a room for longer than a couple pages, for more than once every 2 years, we're getting, like, some real stuff going on. And I like that the Carol situation with Hal is heating up and they're actually talking about it because it was very confusing for a long time what was going on with them. It's kind of irritating that they're still kind of, like, dragging things out. We're not explaining why these guys are called the New Guardians and what's going on with all these guys. I didn't really like Lex Luthor getting involved with the Orange Lantern. I thought that whole bit with Lang was really corny and really obvious. And I think Geoff Johns has made it his personal mission to beat the Superman movie to death in his DC career. But like I said, I did like the Hal Carol stuff for the most part. I was offended with the first couple pages completely, said that all the stuff that had happened before that we already said invalidated everything else is now sort of invalidated again by another character that's even older than all the other characters, you know. I mean, it's silly. It doesn't really add anything to the story for me. I mean, it's just kind of like, it's another character with no consequence saying that he's really powerful, which of course will end in a lot of convoluted nonsense and 50,000 characters hitting him once and nothing really happening, you know. But, I don't understand a lot of the characters' motivations either, Sinestro and so forth. I did think one of the things that's kind of downplayed in the issue is I think Said or whatever her name her head is being sat on by Larfleeze in the scenes. And that's fine. I didn't have too much of a problem with that versus I don't understand how Larfleeze got into the lab in the first place. And
teleports or something.
Does he teleport? All right, cool.
Does he? When did that happen?
He teleports or something.
He got an orange snake in his back.
Or something. Anything. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that.
Something about something. And I didn't like that he said, like, Land, what is Land? I want some. I hate that he always has to have him say, I want some. I need it. I mean, it's not, like, funny. I think it's just because Geoff Johns does not have confidence in his own dialogue because usually it's not very good. So I think he just throws in more dialogue. He does it with a lot of his characters. He'll have, like, every time there's a splash page and he has Kyle say cool or he has Superboy Prime says cool or he has Connor can't say, this will be cool. Like, I mean, it's not cool. Like, it's the opposite of cool, you know?
Cool.
And I appreciate that he had a lot of characters kind of, like, doing things. I think I should say Anki's art is pretty awesome this issue, I thought. The cover's the best looking thing, but obviously he inked it himself, so I wish he could ink his own stuff, but,
the ink's really kind of detracted in this issue, because there's a lot of not non-detailed inking, you know what I'm saying?
And some of it was, yeah, I agree, and some of it was too detailed, like, a few pages, like, at the end, I thought it's a really cool image of, like, for some reason, Atrocitus, like, worshipping a bunch of blood lava, I guess, or whatever he's doing, talking to the Emperor, I guess. But, like, but his face doesn't look all that great. And plus, I agree with Mew that there's too many teasers. And I think it's funny that Hal Jordan's like, a white lantern? Where'd a white lantern come from? It's like, didn't you just see one of those, like, three days ago?
Like, yesterday? Well, yeah. And then the fact that every other page was an ad for Brightest Day.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. This issue was a little bit too much setup. I did enjoy that there was, almost by accident, a certain amount of character development in it. But overall, I was disappointed, but didn't hate it as much as I thought I would hate this issue. But I think that's kind of the Geoff Johns curse. He'll have the next 2 years, we'll get a lot of these kind of building issues, and I'll just be really mad when the storyline finally ends.
Well, you know, the whole Larfleeze thing is leading up towards actually the Action Comics story where Lex Luthor's going a bit on a power drive with Superman and going on his wandering spirit quest, walking across America, forcing up thing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, what about Brandon? You haven't said much.
Sorry, Kuma. The Action Comics thing is ridiculous. That just proves that it doesn't need to be in this issue, and just putting those two together is just wrong.
I heard that in the next comic story arc, there's going to be a new villain named Nuclear Man.
Cannot wait.
I didn't hate this issue. Like Eric, I did find it.
I didn't hate it. I hate every issue.
I hate this a lot less.
That makes me feel any better.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. I didn't hate it as much as previous issues. I just felt disappointed with it. There were a lot of things that I did like those six pages on that character we don't know who does condescend previous history. I did like that, but mainly because of the art. I thought Doug did a really nice job on those pages. And I thought it was paced like really well, those six pages, the angles and everything. I think that was probably the best part of this issue and probably the best non-information giving six pages of the last 7 months.
He gives massive props to Hal Jordan. He's like, not even Hal Jordan can say anymore. And I don't mean to be like that guy, but what did Hal Jordan ever do, you know?
Like he's like, you know, he works for the blue people and he saved the purple people. But what happened to the black people, man? You know?
Wow.
We're going to reference that forever, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
That he hates that.
Yes, we should. I mean, as long as there's black people.
As long as Wes on the podcast.
Like, I mean, not being saved.
So at least for the next couple of weeks.
As long as black people not being saved.
What the fuck? That's not cool.
I didn't say that. That wasn't even me.
I'm not even racist. I feel like that's a valid point to make. Like, you know, he still won't do anything about the inequities in America, despite the fact that was like 35 years ago when that black guy got in his face about it.
And the fact that that's not his job.
Al has aged very well.
His job is to protect the Earth from, you know, being destroyed by people. Not even the Earth, the sector, even though
I think if he went to a planet and he saw a dictator or he saw somebody doing shit that was happening on our planet, to the Zanzibars and, like, the Frappatos were destroying the Zanzibars the way that, you know, shit is happening in, like, Dark War and stuff, he wouldn't just stand there and be like, all right, that's none of my business. It's like, no, I would stop that from happening, you know? I mean, that's my job.
Well,
my job is
morally, he's super stubborn. He would stop it.
Well, to be fair, he never goes off Earth. But
it's probably not contractually obligated to stop it.
The more you think about it.
Anyway, to wrap my thoughts up, the Carol and Hal thing, I thought that was a really good part too. Sinestro breaking it up, that was a bit expected from me. What I didn't expect was the White Lantern thing. I felt that we were gonna, you know, leave that in the brightest day, but I guess there'll be more crossover than I thought it would be. So don't look forward to that. And I guess that's it, because everything else was just look at our brightest day titles.
Well, don't we think that the truce thing between all the core, how that was kind of covered in an offhand way in a panel, should have been a much more, like, significant event, considering that this has been such a major conflict between these different cores, like, going at, especially the Sinestro Corps, who have been going out of their way to destroy, like, humongous portions of the population of the universe, and the Green Lanterns are like, all right, truce. What does that exactly entail? Why wouldn't there be a bigger conversation about that? I mean, they just kind of said, all right, well, let's leave you guys alone for now.
You know, I think a one-shot would have served well here. I mean, just covering, like, the various interactions between the different corps, negotiating their treaties, and seeing how different enemies work together.
Or they could have used what they should have used. What's that called? Blackest Night number 8, where none of that happened but should have happened, where the storyline could have been resolved in an issue as opposed to...
Oh, you mean where they wasted 4 pages on one splash?
They wasted the next 16 pages on establishing a brand new storyline as opposed to finishing the one we've been reading for the past 4 or 5 years. Yeah, I mean that exactly.
Well, and I agree with you. I think Jeff Jones is kind of going to end on one arc. It's just going to be ending every other arc. It's going to be the end of arc.
Now Hal carries his ring on him when he flies jets. This is also, this is retcon again?
I don't know if it's retcon. I mean, maybe he just, you know, decided it was stupid. But, like, they don't mention it. They could have tossed in one, you know, like, sure, it makes sense that he should do that. But they didn't toss in any, like, sort of throwaway line where Sinestro's like, you know, I see you've wisened up and decided to start carrying your ring and not being an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was I didn't expect to go flying today. I was just chilling.
But even then,
send your ring home. He always
preparation before.
But he always
fly.
Leaves it in a locker.
It's not like you just go hop into a plane and start flying.
Did we ever see him without a ring in a plane after the whole POW incident?
See, that's the storyline Jeff Johns created.
Are we really going to judge this issue based on continuity?
I'm just saying.
What did you think about the issue in general?
I'm saying it would have been nice to mention something. I mean, I think the art was generally good, and the story was... this wasn't really Brightest Day Zero as much as the second half of Brightest Day Zero, Green Lantern 53, as much as the second half of, like, these few pages, like, the first, like, what was it, 8 pages, 6 pages, or whatever, should have been the end of Blackest Night, instead of the beginning of whatever this is.
I wouldn't expect this to be the end of Blackest Night.
That would have been terrible.
I would have not wanted that.
Well, it should have been an epilogue.
Like an epilogue. Not the end, like an epilogue, like, you know, at the end, like, say, and also this happens. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Yeah, like, what's that other, like, Green Lantern Corps? Like, that was what I really expected and what should have been, which was an epilogue and a wrap-up to a lot of storylines.
It didn't even say it was an epilogue?
With this or Green Lantern? No, this didn't, but Green Lantern Corps did. Yeah, it says epilogue on the cover.
I also find it funny that there's four inkers on this book, and only one of them gets billing on the cover. like if anything, don't give him, like, and I think it's the same with Corps. There's, like,
you sure Brightest Day didn't ink some of this? Because I think Brightest Day inked some of this. He worked on a lot of titles this month.
there's four inkers on Corps, and yet Buckman's the only one that gets billing. I find that funny.
Well, Buckman deserves the
billing. Sure, yeah, I mean, sure, but still.
No, and she's good.
The only reason that she gets billing is because she's alphabetically first.
And awesome, also.
Sure. I mean, I'm not saying anything against that, but the only reason that
got the spotlight bump.
The only reason that Christian Alami and Rebecca Buckman are getting billing on the cover is because they're alphabetically the first ink.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem fair. Right. There's so much going on the cover anyway.
Just only put two names on there. Just say Jeff Johns, Doug Monkey, and then don't put all the inkers' names on there.
I don't know why they had to throw lightning in there.
I don't know. They had
lightning.
They were bored. Is it just me or did Lex Luthor put on some weight?
Yeah, he's really fat. All of a sudden.
That's what I'm trying to say. I was trying to mention this.
Well, we can't explain why he looks fatter without.
No, I can totally explain why he looks fatter. It's because they're trying to make him into the old, crazy mad scientist Lex Luthor again.
Super Friends, yeah.
Exactly. He's gonna be running around in that purple suit again, even though we were seeing that at the end of freaking Infinite Crisis.
Wait, does that mean we'll get to see Green Lantern Lex Luthor again? Because that was awesome.
What?
No one remembers that Justice League episode or Super Friends episode where they ended up going back in time. Getting the power.
I remember the one where Gorilla Grodd conquers Africa by beating up a parking lot and finds the Africa crown and puts it on.
Is he going to start looking like Gene Hackman?
No.
With hair and everything?
With hair and all.
Wait, I've been hearing
I bet you money Jeff Johns is going to work his way into this somehow.
Anyway. And then there's also I do like how Larfleeze isn't, you know, the comedy Larfleeze that we've been seeing for a while. It's looks like, you know, it's not Philip Tan, you know, make you piss your pants Larfleeze, but it's somewhat scary.
Are you talking art wise or character wise?
I'm not even I don't know about the character wise. No, not really. But art wise, he looks he
what
looks
is his character?
He looks scary. His character is Superboy Prime.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And I did kind of like the page near the end where the Flash and all the other guys are rebuilding Hand Mortuary, or not really rebuilding, but, you know, putting the gravesites back on, and then St. Walker's just talking, going to every single gravesite and, like, Jennifer Hansen of Earth, blah, 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 blah. And then the cliffhanger at the end, which I don't really understand. Why?
Why?
You're referring to what now?
Why?
He's referring to the
white lantern.
Hearing about the white lantern.
What?
Yeah.
No, not the white lantern. I'm talking about.
Oh, you mean Atrocitus and Guy Gardner?
Yeah.
Oh, you're supposed to know that they have some kind of plan going on with each other and blah blah blah.
Right.
Yeah, I want to. Does that supposedly take place before GOC 47?
No, because there's Fall Gambit and the Green Lantern Corps 48, so I think it takes place before 48, but after 47.
I get a sense that it takes place after, just because of the, it would be easier if it took place after.
Also, why is Gambit blue again and not green again?
Because dumb.
And yet his bubble still has the green around it.
Yeah, nobody's been able to satisfactorily explain to me why he's a Deputy Lantern in the first place.
Oh, we haven't gotten to that issue yet.
Yeah, fine. You explain to me why he can create the ring, but he can't create whatever. I mean, you don't have to talk about it. Or...
Yeah, it's nitpicking aside.
So in 5 issues, we're going to find out this is App Alley App. Not in 5 issues. In like 3,000 issues, we're going to find out it's App Alley App. So in like 6 years.
I mean, would we prefer it to be a known guy or a new guy? Because I used to be of the camp where I wanted to be
I'd prefer it to be a new
guy.
God.
No, not a new guy. A new villain.
I know, but I'd prefer it.
Oh.
Yeah, I want the old guy if he's treated with respect.
I used to completely agree with you. I used to be with the camp where, like, we should only bring in old villains. But at this point, I feel like that would just be kind of the excuse to continue the kind of circle jerk of continuity. I kind of wish it I know it probably won't be, because then what would be the point of showing him in Shadow? But I wish they would put a couple of new villains in this, you know?
Now, what's the point of showing somebody new if you're just going to play with history, though?
Well, because it's still going to be silly. I mean, it's probably Kronos, honestly, but, you know, I mean, whatever.
Kronos?
Not Kronos. Kronos, sorry.
No, Kronos taller.
It's going to be Batman.
Kronos a tall guy. But Kronos a, you know, normal
size. Isn't
it
Cerulean? Blue? Yeah.
This guy,
imagine a no. Batman.
I think it's Kronos.
I'm pretty sure it's
Apple. One at a time, please.
I am pretty sure it's Apple Aliapsa.
It might be too obvious if it's Krona. But whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Frank, what did you think of the issue?
I wasn't terribly impressed. It's pretty much just, it's supposed to mirror a lot of things that was going on. Jordan's first meeting with Sinestro. The entire, you know, secret pacts that would be going on. Secret works is supposed to be happening here. The issue really didn't deal at all with anything that Hal Jordan has to be going on as Green Lantern. And I pretty much did not care as to what was going on at all in this issue. Aww. I didn't like the offhand mention of the truth, because that just was lazy writing. I'm sorry, that was lazy writing. You could have seriously given me at least like 2-3 pages of a flashback of someone explaining to me why Hal Jordan did not bust Sinestro in the face or go like,
really,
you're still under arrest. Yeah. You're still under arrest, jackass. You murdered a lot of people. Yeah. I don't care what you did here. You should not have redemption.
But no, don't you remember when the U.S. made like huge truces with Russia and Germany and all those guys? Or Italy?
Are you referring to 52?
Real life.
Are you referring to 52?
Is that the time when Soda tried to steal the black batter? No.
But again, I really don't see why a mass sociopath who's committed genocide on planetary scales would actually, someone will go, listen, I know you just helped us out by saving the entire universe. You're cool.
Which is funny because they've basically pretty much flat out said in interviews that Sinestro is basically Hitler. So they're saying that, hey, it would be cool if we signed a truce with Hitler.
If Hitler helped us fight a war that saved mankind.
I mean, well, friggin', what's his name? Didn't Black Adam kill an entire country? And everybody was like, cool.
Yeah, right? Black Adam.
No, fuck that. We can't talk about 52 now. Fuck that.
Why'd you cry about it?
I was ahead of you. See, I was thinking.
Listen. Okay. Again, I'm not really all that keen into what's going on here. It's especially, you know, that this spanning into the brightest day area here.
I just want stories. Is that too hard to ask? I want a story.
I love stories here, but I'm getting really, really bored by the whole, look at my hand over here while I create more mysteries over here.
World War II, I think Crisis on Infinite Earths retconned that.
It actually might be true.
So, in general terms, everybody was what? Sort of okay with this issue? Sort of like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I hate it.
That's for the new, for what's coming.
I think we generally all positive with it, except for some things like, you know, too much previewing, not enough doing.
Yeah.
And Lex.
What's wrong with
that? I think all the stuff that's still been terrible about Geoff Johns doing stuff is still there. It's just this wasn't as bad as it has been. Because I think mostly because two characters had a conversation about something that wasn't, you know, the blackest fucking night, or it wasn't what's happening in the next storyline. They had two characters that were like, should we go out? Let's talk about it. And that was it. You know, I think that's really what helped it.
That did help. Thanks.
You know what? I can give it to you there. Except for, you know, I just can't get behind it that much.
And yeah, Lex and Larfleeze make a good buddy cop movie.
I don't know.
They don't. See, oh god.
I think Larfleeze should get away from me. I'm tired of that guy.
I think Lex should get the fuck out of a Green Lantern comic.
It's funny. It's funny that I'm thinking about it this way. I think, again, Geoff Johns and, you know, the entirety of DC here is trying to, and I've said this many times before, always play off other another franchise company that I will not mention names here.
I'm pretty sure that that the next Superman storyline is going to feature Richard Pryor. And the next Action Comics storyline is gonna, you know, is gonna feature a new villain, Nuclear Man. So,
if I hope so. That happens, I will high five somebody. Anyway,
it's Superman 700 for the quest of peace.
Anyway, let's move on to Green Lantern Corps 47. Which is again the actual end, you know, send off to Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason on the Green Lantern Corps book.
Yeah, this comic is the reason why Green Lantern is a stable franchise that's lasted for as long as it's lasted. This kind of storytelling, this kind of stuff we get out of this comic, is why it's a potent franchise, not Blackest Night and crap like that. That has nothing to do with Green
Lantern. And I completely agree with you.
So there's a line in this comic that I think Geoff Johns forced through Peter Tomasi. Which was, this eternal flame will burn for as long as there's at least one Green Lantern ring shine somewhere in this vast universe. Because I'm 99% sure that is going to deal with the plot of, what is it, Adventure? Legion. Oh, the Legion book.
Legion of Three Worlds?
No, the Legion
of Sodom Yachts?
No, the Legion of Superheroes book where they've got the, the new Green Lantern. I am 99% sure that line is going to tie in to the new Legion of Superheroes book, and Geoff Johns forcing down Peter Tomasi's throat.
Well, I want to say that, first off, about the issue itself, I like the issue a lot. I went through bouts where I didn't like some of it, and then liked some of it. I think Guy, at this point, Tomasi likes Gardner so much that he overwrites all his dialogue, which is unfortunate, because the guy's dialogue is really always obnoxious and grating, and you don't want it to be any worse. I do want to point out that Isamot has one of the most awesome Green Lantern uniforms ever, and we never talked about that. But besides that, like, I think there's a lot of really cool ideas in this. This is actually what an epilogue to a big event should be like. This kind of just reminded me how much I liked Green Lantern Corps during Blackest Night and how I kind of wish that was what was going on. Patrick Gleason's art went from, like, some of the grossest pictures he's ever drawn to some of the most amazing pictures he's ever drawn. I think the second time you see Stell in the issue where he takes over for Kilowog, it's the most awesome picture I've ever seen.
Oh, that
Stell.
Was awesome.
That is the most awesome pic. That's like one of the most awesome pictures this guy's ever drawn. Like that is, it's like a three-dimensional picture. It's insane. But somebody should give him a fucking Eisner for that. I think it's insanely grimy how Vath and Asamot actually really do punch each other to the point where they're bleeding, and they do this all the time, and nobody like thinks that they should probably break up this team because that's like, I mean, if I hit my partner in the face and I was on the police force, they'd probably ask me to take a sabbatical or something. But in this, they're just like, why don't you two cool off and get a beer? Like,
oh, you guys, wah wah.
And the only thing they punch the Guardian over is the thing that the Guardian didn't actually do. And I like that Kyle goes on for like 80, well, it's just one page, but a whole page about how it's wrong that Lantern shouldn't date each other, even though, you know, inter-office dating being forbidden, being verboten is kind of the rule of the law in the entire world. But the fact that they murdered a bunch of defenseless prisoners, most of which didn't do anything deserving of murder, just to kind of clean out their Zion cells, that doesn't bother them enough. And I think they're kind of being like, hey, Guardians, you better watch yourself, or the next time you do this heinous stuff that you've been doing for the last million years, we're totally going to be still mad at you, which is kind of silly. I mean, enough is enough. They should have. I think this storyline would have been cool if the Guardians would have completely left the core to its own devices, and then we had, like, Salak and Kilowog running shit. That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
There's only, like, six Guardians left.
You know, that was similar to a storyline in the Masters Green Lantern RPG in the Green Lantern Corps message board.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Enough of the plug. I'm sure they appreciate the, you know, the compliment and everything like that. But
I'm one of those guys.
Or
oh,
it's fine. Okay. We're on a podcast.
Fanfic.
fan
fiction. It's totally okay. Nothing wrong with it.
This splash page of Guy Gardner that Patrick Gleason did when they broke the bar, I didn't think it was funny enough to get a whole page, but that looks like nothing Patrick Gleason's ever drawn again in his entire life. Like, obviously I know there's 45 inkers, but it's almost like one of the inkers drew that.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it.
Happy to see that Vaz is still alive. You know, that's like the happiest thing in this issue, that Vaz is still around.
I like how he's saying harumph when they announce that they're
they can
go back to having sex with your fellow Green Lanterns.
Boosh.
And then there's when Kilowog denies the drill instructor duty, and Salak goes herm.
Yeah.
Herm.
I did kind of notice that as the issue progressed, the panels got bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Well, this is an exercise issue, am I wrong?
I'm sure it's like, you know, screw it, let's have a little bit fun with this. Yeah. Although the funny thing is that when Isamon was first introduced, like in Recharge, he had a lot more detail, didn't he?
I feel like he had more stuff on his face, but it wasn't really necessary.
I feel like he had more legs.
Sure.
That's good. His legs will grow back. I don't think this issue made it very clear that his legs are probably going to grow back.
He said regenerative characteristics.
They're unique regenerative, but he doesn't actually say they're going to grow back. It kind of just seems like he cut his legs off. I was like, here you go.
They're now foot buddies.
But yeah, now we're foot buddies, yeah.
And then
overall, this is the last issue of Tomasi and Gleason, right?
Yes, on GLC.
This is probably my favorite writer-artist team combination ever in the history of Green Lantern, and this is the last issue. It's kind of sad, but... it's not a bad issue, you know, and at least they didn't try to, like, last issue of any Green Lantern comic ever, you know, like, that's what's so good about this issue. Like, I can never read this should have been Ryan's last issue, you know.
Well, you can follow Peter Tomasi to Green Lantern Emerald Warriors, coming August 2010.
Yeah, exactly.
Continues being in the Green Lantern core.
Hal and Guy, going at it.
Well, that's a teaser. The spoilers for the next...
which I love that here's like what's his name, Guy, like trying to tear a ring off of like Ward's face, and he's just like, whatever, what's up?
What do we think about the new tree of faces,
the tree of life?
Yeah, well, the tree of death, I guess. Yeah,
but a tree to commemorate those who have lived.
Pretty sure they actually called it the tree of life somewhere.
It's a memorial of life to the tree.
It's What was that? What was the tree called in Avatar? It's that thing.
I don't want to talk about Avatar.
Oh.
Does that mean Lantern Moro is just going to be living in that field now? Or is he going to get a hut or something?
Hey, it's a step up from guarding a graveyard.
It's Mogo, so he can just, you know.
So he's going to guard Mogo now?
Why not?
They can always put the test. They can always put them together as sector partners.
Tree of Souls. It's the Tree of Souls.
Maro. His name was Maro, right?
Maro, yeah.
Maro. He was a nomadic lantern. He never really had a sector. No,
he just hung out on Oa and guarded.
Yeah,
the,
so he can honestly be Mogo's sector partner. Keeper. So there's actually no problem with that. I like it too. You know, two guys who never really say anything to anybody else.
So do we think that also, I think Isamon giving Vath his legs is cool. I just think it's kind of like, seems grimy considering that they've had a lot of guys who've had their arms and legs cut off, and why doesn't Isamon or his people just kind of donate limbs across the universe?
Because
they're assholes.
Yeah, that's what I said. Fenninger and they're assholes.
I think it could have been cool if we would have seen Vath or whatever being a, a disabled lantern.
I think it
could have easily grown back his legs with the use of the ring.
It would have been like that, like at the end of Sinestro Corps, like, you know, this happened. Just it.
Yeah. And does Iolande throw sparks in their eyes or throw like poop at them or something? Like,
oh, yeah, she throws poop at them.
The little crap in the
what was that? Hold on, wait. Oh, what is that sound you just made? You're like, oh,
was it Musa? Or
yeah.
That's what it sounds like when she goes to the bathroom. That's like
Wes, what did you actually think of this issue? I haven't heard anything from you.
It's all right. I thought Gleason's art was a little inconsistent. I didn't like his close-ups
That's called inking.
Let the man say his piece.
That's right, there's no inking.
I thought it was inconsistent. I thought, like, the close-up on Kilowog was disgusting. It looked like bratwurst, like uncooked bratwurst.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Kyle looked like he was on steroids. It was ridiculously huge.
Maybe it took some
roids. Where Eric thought, fuck this game. I'm about to cry.
You're talking about the art?
He means Mavs versus Spurs.
No.
What was I about to say? Kyle. Where Eric was complaining that they were upset about the love rule, where they should have been upset about the prisoners dying more so. I think it was just that they were equally upset. It's just that since Aresia decided to slap a lantern, that just became the more the topic of focus. So he just went off on that tangent, and since they decided to get their respect back and adhere to the 10-minute thing that they put on themselves, that they just didn't bring up any further arguments. That they made their point. They didn't need to drill it in their heads that what they did in the science sales were wrong. Though I'm sure if like another week goes by and they haven't heard anything about I'm sorry or anything, that they should probably go back up there and slap another guardian.
Also, you murdered people. I think the whole capital murder thing, I think that's been kind of like really lightly.
Like, you lied to the universe, you murdered a bunch of innocent people, and then you tried to make us into manhunters. We need an apology.
But what I'm most upset about is that I can't pull out my girlfriend in public.
Well, in his little speech of, you know, the third rule and want to be repealed, he tries to point out everything that happened here. You know, you take away love, you take away the heart of a lander, you take away the fact of, you know, you just making them into, you know, mindless soldiers to just murder people. You know,
yeah, that is a good metaphor, I guess.
So, you know, my whole
issue with the third law thing, just really quick, let me say, is that I feel like we haven't seen, I mean, we have, I guess, but I feel like we haven't seen such a huge amount of lanterns dating each other, at least currently, that's that big of a deal, at least. You know, we saw the one when it was storyline relevant, and Kyle and Sornik, but otherwise, I don't think any of the lanterns are dating.
You don't think the law is a big deal, or you don't think...
Well, I think in the context of, like, the fact that not too many lanterns are dating...
wasn't portrayed enough to actually make it a big deal, in a way.
I think it was portrayed enough to make a big deal because those are our central characters. I think if we were following, like, Stell's adventures, then, no, it wouldn't be relevant. But
I want to come back to Stell during this moment being like, don't care.
This
increased my download speed because I don't need this kind of speed.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe
this is fucking up Azorius for me right now. Could you please stop? Yeah.
Maybe still got a thing going on with the lantern. I don't know.
Wait, what were you saying?
I was gonna say, was I the only one who thought Tomasi got like extremely cheesy, like with Guy's dialogue during this entire?
Well, I thought,
issue?
Like I said, I think all of his dialogue is overwritten. Like,
he had this huge paragraph.
All my favorite buddies of all time. Yeah, like.
And then the other thing is like on the third page, like right before they go to the Tree of Souls, It shows Guy Gardner. He looks like Andy Samberg in the Jizz in My Pants video, first of all. And then second thing is that the speech bubble is half the panel. And the panel is across the page.
Yeah. Seriously? The roller coaster hasn't stopped since he slaps Nestor's Court of Yellow Snots, but that's actually when you have New York back up, watch the science cells explode in the floor, have your show out, the whole thing. Rain down on us, and then to put up it all, fought a gazillion Macarons, Black Lantern, Cockroaches to death, and to try to suck a central battery core, and showing not only the Earth, but the whole universe, not to mention a bunch of lanterns in a long can of war. That's, no one would ever say that.
He only
unfortunately accented one word. This roller coaster hasn't stopped Sinestro's Court of Yellow Snots.
I had to put this book down and then pick it back up and keep reading that speech bubble and then put it down again. Honestly, the speech bubble, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I think it was supposed to be funny, it just didn't come across.
Oh, like it was ridiculously long. Anyways, and then the other thing is that Kilowog has a lot more detail than he had before, doesn't he?
It's just the scratchy on faces.
And it's ugly. It's really ugly.
He's known that before, but I think this is he probably like decided to do it for the last issue, whatever. But yeah, I didn't like the close-ups of Salak really bothered me when he was talking to Lanterns. Whoever inked that should be inking Salak on Gleason anymore because.
Well, I guess
the
didn't work.
I didn't really mind that. I didn't really mind the close-ups.
It looked like a little slit in his eye.
Although, when you first see Vath's face, he looks like he's like 60 years old.
Yeah, the Vath Issamont pages are probably the best inked pages because there's like one close up of Issamont in particular where it's a lot of blacks, and when Vath is in his face saying, "Look at me, why did you do this to me?" and he's, "You want to know why I did this?" Like, that's actually a really cool picture of Issamont because it kind of proves that Gleason gets perspective and like simplicity and detail right in the same picture. And I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
And then when they're doing the high five, when they're doing the bro handshake. There's like such an insane amount of detail, like
hard they grab each other. I know, like their veins are like pulsating, like it's ridiculous. Yeah. And then entertain this, et cetera, et cetera.
It's corny. I just think this is a great issue.
Sure. And then I'm not gonna be a lapdog. And then everyone's like, yes, oh yeah, okay. And then they appeal to the law, and it's a big deal. Like, yay, woo, whatever. They made that law, and then, they were going up for, like, what, at least a week. As far as I can tell, it was at least a week. Yeah. You know, it was, like, 7 years comic time, but...
Sornik and Kyle? I think they weren't dating yet when the law was in place.
No, they weren't dating yet when the law was in place, but they started dating after the law was in place. It's like, well, we can't do that.
Yeah. I was actually kind of expecting or hoping for more of a legitimate confrontation between the Lanterns and the Guardians, like... I want to say a battle because that'd be freaking awesome, but just like a legitimate confrontation, like get the fuck out of here kind of a thing. That's when like they had Arisia punch the Lantern. I was like, that's cool, but I felt like that was like kind of like they missed the momentum of their own story. Like the story's going to the point where they should be a lot more angry than just that, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway. Mew, you haven't said anything about this issue.
Oh, I liked it. I mean... The thing I was most liking about is just kind of like how it's just the capstone of all the work that they've done, like all the emotional points come back into highs and how they're going to rebuild, how they're going to start anew, just kind of setting up for the upcoming run. I mean, it's good. It may not be the most fantastic story ever, but, you know, I enjoyed it. Is there any particular moments that stood out for you guys as just being particularly fantastic that we might not have mentioned?
It was definitely this roller coaster. It hasn't stopped since we slept. I'm not going to do the whole thing. Just
no, I thought the what's his name?
The Tree of Souls.
No, the Lizard Man and
Issamont and Vath.
Issamont.
Vath. Yeah, I thought that was done really well. Right until Alande showed up and ruined the moment. I thought
let's
them
make out, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought them beating the hell out of each other was like great. I thought the dialogue was spot on. I thought it was fucking great and. It was probably my favorite part of the issue. And
I just want to say about that. Yeah, bros before toes. I just want to say that.
And, that was definitely my favorite part of the issue. And fuck the Spurs.
Interesting.
The best part of the issue was definitely Salak going Herm.
I think the sickest part of the issue, I'm sorry, was that drawing of Cell. I can't get over how fucking awesome
that
drawing
was. That was awesome, yeah.
That's the most awesome shit I've seen in my life. Wasn't Gleason the one saying he had trouble drawing Stell, or who was the one saying he had trouble
drawing Stell? Yeah, that was Gleason.
Yeah, well, fuck that, because Patrick, Philip Tan's Stell looks like shit right now, like absolutely positively.
Well, he didn't get a whole splash
He's a great artist, but like, holy God, this is the greatest I've ever seen. Like, just, oh my God, he's perfect for this. Perfect.
Too bad he ruined it with that shitty-ass Kilowog.
The dirty Kilowog. I like it, that Kilowog looks like he's like... Like a bunch of hemorrhoids. Like that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot like in you know Battle Scar, but I don't know.
Don't give
hemorrhoids. Like the his, whatever they called the. What is this race called?
The Poosers, yeah.
Poosers.
They're the Brillologs, right?
No.
Brillolog of the planet.
The Cuddies.
Dang it! I Brillolog of the planet.
How do you not know what
Killer is? Bolovax. It's Bolovax.
Yeah, that's right, Bolovax. We're really bad fans, by the way, but maybe they're just all really hemorrhoidy, just nobody ever drew it before.
Maybe, no, maybe Caleb Walsh is getting older, you know, and that's how they look.
He's always had wrinkles since the start of Rebirth and
no,
shit.
I like how he completely lost his retina and pupils, like, at one point, and just started looking like scary, fucking shit scary on that one page.
That's Gleason, man.
I just find it funny that it looks like Kilowog has, like, one of those, gumballs from Ed, Edd n Eddy in his mouth. Like, one of those giant gumballs. Except it's not so giant, because he's big.
Jawbreakers.
Jawbreakers, that's what, whatever, same thing.
So, Frank. What did you think about
Frank, was there any part of the issue particularly that stood out to you?
Besides the Tree of Souls?
Maybe you're just really upset. What is it, yeah. Frank? What's going on, brother? let's wrap it out. Huh?
Hey, yo, Frankie, what's going on? Are you sad, Gleason?
Listen, Frank, I know that... Listen, Frank, I know that this roller coaster hasn't stopped since we slapped him. Put the Statue of Liberty in half of New York back up, watch the science cells explode into a full riot. Had the protective shell around Oa get obliterated and rain down on us. Then, to top it all off, fought a gazillion Necrons, Black Lantern, Conquerors to the death as they tried to suck our central battery dry and destroy not only the Earth, but the whole universe. Not to mention a bunch of Lanterns still unaccounted for. But you know what? Only that the... Wait, going gets tough, going tough, gets get tough, tough get go. I can't believe I lost that at the end of that. That's too bad.
I know, right? You got that whole thing, and then you missed only when the going well, gets tough, the tough get going.
Can't we just, like, yeah,
should,
I can't...
You should have said that. That'll leave anything out. And then I should have said.
But yeah, yeah. You know, that's what's going on, Frank. Can I just ask, did I leave it, Frank? So did I leave anything out?
Only that when the going gets tough, the tough get...
Oh, please.
That is too funny.
That was the best thing ever.
Let's let that be an in-joke from now on.
Okay.
Okay.
Last thing I'm going to say before anything else happens in this entire fiasco of our brightest day. I like the issue. It was a great epilogue. A lot of things were summed up. Most of every single character was used for Sodom Yad in this issue, which, you know, he's stuck in a sun somewhere. And I got to say, the characterization of most of all the characters was fairly well done for the last time Peter Tomasi is going to write him in the Green Lantern Corps issue. You know, everybody got to see everything that was going on. Every single plot point that was pretty much done through the issues were pretty much, you know, sort of established and, you know, it sort of ended here. Kilowog, you know, drill sergeantness, Kyle and Guy's buddy cop thing, freaking Princess Eolan having to, like, you know.
I wish Sornik had more to do that was hers, not Kyle's. She's got gigantic eyeballs.
Yes, she does.
I guess he wanted to differentiate her. Gosh darn it, Frankie.
It's not as bad as that couple aliens, remember? Those two together in the prank.
Oh, that was their alien look, though.
The other weird thing is that Sornik has, like, black pupils on white, what's it called?
Whatever. Eyeballs?
I don't know what the technical term is. But then Sinestro... But then Sinestro, who's her father, is yellow on... I mean, not, you know, yellow probably because it's, you know, he's, yeah, whatever, but on black.
Maybe because he's so goddamn evil.
Like, he's had black, he's had black eyes since he was a Green Lantern.
Maybe he has, damn, what's that disease that they think black people get?
Sickle cell anemia?
Sickle cell, there you go.
Sickle cell anemia? What?
Why would Sinestro have that?
Add Frankie to the...
Why wouldn't he have
rheumatoid arthritis?
What is arthritis have to do with the eyes?
What is arthritis?
Maybe he's got a tumor.
Maybe he's got...
If you jack off too much, you get arthritis and you go blind.
Maybe he got...
That's like four things happening to you.
Maybe he got...
I have no idea.
Maybe he got Kilowog's hemorrhoids.
Okay, yeah, well, Frank, let's...
All right.
Frank, what were you saying?
I was saying I enjoyed this issue a lot. I'm gonna be sad to see Tomasi leave. I'm gonna be sad to see Patrick Gleason leave.
Well, you know, you can't follow.
I can't follow the Emerald Warriors and Peter Tomasi continue on in that
stuff.
These two guys are gone.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm pretty agitated right now. So let's just wrap it up now.
I'm excited about the two titles coming out of this, honestly, after this issue.
I think the thing that excited me most in this issue was the full-page ad for Doctor Who in the back.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm glad you all stuck by my inane ranting half the time and cursing when you couldn't hear me.
And my spacing out.
What did you do to me, Colton? Or Isamat?
I just want to do a quick shout-out to a band that I saw in Connecticut the other day. I thought they were pretty great. called Paris. It's a three-piece band. They're pretty good. They do a lot of acoustic stuff. I think give them a shot. You're plenty surprised. WeAreThePairs.com. Try it out. Thank you.
If you want to find us online, you can go to thegreenlanterncorps.com. If you want to check out the blog, you can find it at glspotlight.wordpress.com. If you want to find us on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/glspotlight or find us individually at youtube.com/neildoublebane or youtube.com/ssjkuhan. You can find half the cast on Twitter at glspotlight, at consciousb, and at kuhan. And also, if you want to find Ryan, you can find him at Avenger Files. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening theme, Room Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, check out the Roy Kirk Method, performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at www.freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
I have this magic green. It is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too
long. Oh, fuck me.
Well, Frankie's back online. He's trying to call, so. Just add Frankie to this call.
Yeah, just add Frankie to this call.
You add Frankie. You're the one who started the call, genius.
You're funny. You're a funny guy, Mew. And look for the new Green Lantern, my status quo, the gentrification of Kyle Rayner's comic book space.
Yeah. Sounds a little bit long to be a title.
Kyle's castration.
That's gonna be on the top of every Green Lantern core book now.
The gentrification of Kyle Rayner's complicated.
Yes.